Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website www.lmc.org.au.
Let's pray, hey? Father, I just ask that you would overshadow this word this morning and that, Lord God, as we've sung already, that you shall reign. Lord God, we love you, we worship you, we magnify you, and we thank you for your word. We just give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So for some unknown reason, last Thursday morning, a week ago, I woke at 2:30 a.m. I put my mozzie, now my mozzie, that's what Chris calls it, is my earbud. I go to bed and listen to the radio as I fall asleep, and Chris says it falls out and it goes all night. And so when I woke up at 2:30, I put the mozzie back in and I determined that I'd listen to the BBC News because that's what I do to go back to sleep. As I did that, you might think I'm strange, but that's it. It's either that or having Chris talk to me in my ear, so you know, she's asleep. I found at 2:30 that morning that the Queen was unwell and that the family had been summoned to Balmoral. My mind started to get even busier than what it was, and so I decided I'd get up. I made myself a cup of coffee. I made some toast. This is at 2:30, and I started to read for a while. And about 4 o'clock, I was feeling a bit tired, so I went back to bed. I put the mozzie back in, and guess what? The news was that the Queen had passed away, and that was it for me. I got up again. Obviously, since then, it's been wall-to-wall news about the Queen, her reign, her character, and all of the pageantry that goes along with our royal family. Now, I am fully aware that not everyone would share my view on royalty. However, you've got to understand the generation that I grew up in. I grew up where my first day at school, Monday morning, and then every Monday morning from then on, whilst at school, whether it be state or tech school, we would stand at the flagpole, we would sing God Save the Queen, and we would salute the flag, and then we'd march in to our classroom with marching music. And so that was it. Every classroom had a photo of the Queen in it. And even when I started my apprenticeship at the Commonwealth Government Engine Works, there was a big portrait of the Queen above our time clock and in the lunchroom. It was called the Commonwealth Government Engine Works. Coins, stamps, the post office, many other institutions all displayed the Royal Album emblem. She was the Queen of the Commonwealth of which we were a part, and we were taught to honour and respect her and her office, and I still do. The Queen was a remarkable lady who was, as we're finding out now, absolutely sold out to the call that she had upon her life. It wasn't a career move for her to become Queen. It was her life, one that she pledged in 1952 to live out until she died. So on that Thursday, we were at an ACM conference, and I was there with Andy and many others from here and other churches, and Pastor Alan Meyer was ministering to us. And as I sat in that meeting and listened to Al, and he talked about Pastor Hal and the influence that Pastor Hal had in his life, and I was reflecting on the Queen. I was reflecting on the call upon her life. I was reflecting on the call upon Pastor Alan's life. I was reflecting on the call upon Pastor Hal's life and those that have influenced us. I thought about Billy Graham, the call upon his life. I thought about Mother Teresa and the call on her life. I thought about the example that they had set for us. And this message started to form in my mind. And so I've titled my message this morning, Call or Career? Shepherd or Hireling? Now for me, in the 40 years that I've been in ministry, as I've watched over years and years, more and more I see many church pastors are going into ministry. This is not a judgment statement or a criticism, this is just a fact. Are going into ministry as a career move. I'm sure there was a touch upon their hearts, but as they moved into their ministry, when they hit the first bit of hard times, or when the money's not good enough, or when family comes along, they fall away. That's not the experience that I've had exampled to me, which I'm so blessed to have. So this morning I want to continue talking about the Queen, and I want to talk about what it is to have a call. But I want to also leave a challenge with you. Has God put a call on your life? Now, that call could be still doing exactly what you're doing in an occupation right now, or it could be leaving your occupation to serve God. It could be going to the mission field. It could be working as a volunteer for Samaritan's Purse or whatever the case may be. Or other call or challenge would be, are you a shepherd or a hireling? In John 10, it says this, and this explains what I mean by a hireling. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's hired hand and cares nothing about the sheep. However, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Call or career? Shepherd or hireling? Let's pray. Father, as we come into this message, Lord, I pray that that would be indelibly planted into our minds right now. Lord God, as I go through what you put on my heart to present, that Father, there would be the underlining challenge, call or career? Shepherd or hireling? Lord, am I prepared to follow the example of you, your Son, to lay down my life for what you've asked me to do, to give up a career, to give up money, to give up privileges, if that be the need, to serve you? Lord, I pray in this room today, on the screen today, Lord God, for the houses that it's reaching, that there would be a challenge not only to say that you reign forever, but Lord, a challenge to say we'll serve you forever. So Father, anoint these words right now, I pray, and use them to impact hearts this day. We pray this in Jesus' lovely name, amen. Elizabeth Alexandra Mary Windsor was born in Mayfair, London, on the 21st of April, 1926. She was the first child of the Duke and Duchess of York. The Queen came to the throne in 1952, and her reign lasted 70 years, making her the world's longest-serving monarch. Her tenure as head of state spanned post-war austerity, the transition from empire to Commonwealth, the end of the Cold War, and UK's entry into and withdrawal from the European common market. Her reign spanned 15 prime ministers, starting with Winston Churchill, who was born in 1874, and included Mrs. Truss, born 101 years later in 1975. And there's a photo of Mrs. Truss there, and that's the Queen 2 days before she passed away. You know, I can imagine, you can see just on her right hand there, she's got a lot of darkness there. She must have had tubes and stuff in at that stage, but I can imagine her. She had a job to do. Her job was to unction in the next Prime Minister, Mrs. Truss. That would have been a mark, I'm sure, that I had to achieve in her mind. And I can imagine that she was really probably pretty sick then. Yet, look at the face. A regal lady who had a call upon her life and was prepared to live it out no matter what. Mrs. Truss will never forget that, I'm sure. As part of her responsibility, she held weekly audiences with her prime ministers throughout her reign. Every week, she would meet with the prime ministers. Princess Elizabeth was in Kenya in 1952, representing her father, the ailing king, when Philip broke the news that her father had died. And I have a picture of Philip and the Queen there. And the reason I put that is because I honour that man. I admire that man. When he married Princess Elizabeth, I'm sure he was expecting to have a lot of good times going around the world, continuing on with his own career, etc., etc., etc. Things changed when Princess Elizabeth's dad passed away. And from that time on, Philip served his wife as queen. He wasn't queen, she was queen. You know what I mean. It was all very sudden, she said. It was a kind of making or taking on and making the best job she can, she recalled later. She was crowned at Westminster Abbey on the 2nd of June 1953. She was aged 27 in front of then, and think about that, right back in 1953, television had only just started. A then record TV audience estimated at 20 million people. There was a lot of people back then. Her commitment to the Commonwealth was constant. She visited every Commonwealth country at least once, often twice or more. As a 21-year-old princess, Elizabeth had vowed to devote her life to service. Reflecting on those words decades later, during her Silver Jubilee in 1977, she declared, "Although that vow was made in my salad days, when I was green in judgment," I love the way she said that. All I can think of is a lettuce leaf. "I do not regret nor retract one word of it." Billy Graham and the Queen were good friends. He met with her many times privately, as well as sharing the message at Sandringham. After Billy Graham's death, it was revealed that Billy Graham had the privilege of leading the Queen in her salvation prayer. The Queen shared how often God gave her strength and courage, and Jesus was her inspiration. When she was 13 years old, she wrote a Christmas poem for her father, which she later quoted in a public speech. In her Christmas address of 1957, the young Queen alluded to the dark forces trying to undermine religion and morality and the courage needed to stop them. She read from Pilgrim's Progress, John Bunyan's symbolic vision of a good man's pilgrimage through life. Following the birth of her first grandchild, Peter Phillips, who's now 40, the Queen openly expressed her hope that all her family would follow Jesus. She said she'd like nothing more than for her grandchildren to hold dear to his ideals. In 2002, she spoke publicly about her faith. She said, "I know just how much I rely on my faith to guide me through the good times and the bad." To celebrate her 90th birthday, she wrote the foreword to the commemorative book titled "The Servant Queen and the King She Serves." The following are some of the quotes that Queen Elizabeth spoke, revealing her deep faith and assurance in Jesus' power to save. She said, "History teaches us we need saving from ourselves, from our recklessness and our greed. God sent into the world neither a philosopher or a general, but a saviour with the power to forgive." She also said, "For me, the teachings of Christ and my own personal accountability before God provide a framework in which I try to live my life." Another quote was, "Jesus, whose teachings have been handed down from generation to generation, have been the bedrock of my faith. His birth marked a new beginning. And as the carol says, the hopes and the fears of all the years are met in thee tonight." Another one was, "I have been and remain very grateful to you for your prayers and to God for his steadfast love." In latter years, it was only in the Christmas message that she could quite openly talk about her faith and confidence in Jesus Christ, because she was representing all faiths at that stage. In her Christmas message of 2012, she told how God sent his son to serve, not to be served, and in doing so restored love and service in the center of our lives in the person of Jesus Christ. In the 2014 message, she described her faith in Christ as the anchor of her life. And then in the 2016 message, she said this: billions of people now follow Christ's teaching and find in him the guiding light for their lives. I am one of them because Christ's example helps me to see the value of doing small things with great love. Whoever does them and whatever they themselves believe. Princess Elizabeth said in a radio broadcast on her 21st birthday, "Whether my life be long or short, I will dedicate it to the service of the Commonwealth. What is not widely known and what is not widely publicised is what she said straight after that. She said, God help me to make good my vow, and God bless all of you who are willing to share in it. God did help her, and God has blessed us because of her." So to quote Paddington Bear, "Thank you, Your Majesty, for everything." The thing that struck me as I reflected on the life of our Queen was that she was obedient to a call which was definitely not a career. She was prepared to be a shepherd of the flock, not a hireling, only interested in what's in it for me. The other thing that stood out to me, again, as I've said already, was the lack in the world today of people to whom we could look up to, those who are also prepared to choose to follow the call over career, who are willing to be shepherds and not hirelings. I think there's a dearth in leadership across the world today, and I look at many of the politicians and the people that we are believing are leading us, and it's all about the next term. It's not about the life. Obviously, I'm not in any way suggesting the Queen was perfect, or her family for that instance. I'm not comparing her to Jesus, but I am saying, from my understanding and from what I've read, to the best of her ability, she modelled her life on what Jesus did. I think it's something that we would all be wise to reflect on. What are we modelling our lives on? What are our motives? Are we prepared to lay down our lives for the call? Or is it the career that we're looking at? So let me bring to your attention some of the things that I think she did, some of the modelling that she used. Paul said in Scripture, "Let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus." What was the mind of Christ that Paul was talking about? Philippians, it says this: "He emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. Being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross." With each of these, I'm just going to lay a little challenge for you. And again, we could talk a lot about each of these. You know, Jesus himself having a chat with his Father in heaven and Dad saying, "Hey, you need to go down to earth, and you need to see if we can fix up what's happened down there. But you're going to have to become a man. You're going to have to go through everything that men and women go through. And finally, you've got to be prepared to die." He humbled himself. He emptied ambition to be obedient. Are we prepared to empty our ambitions? Are we prepared to humble ourselves no matter what the cost. Is it a call? Is it a career? Are we going to be shepherds? Or are we going to be hirelings? In 2 Timothy 4 it says, "The time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day." Jesus ran his race. Paul ran his race. The Queen ran her race. In fact, I read recently that the Queen told her chaplain that she wanted Jesus to return before he died, before she died. And the chaplain asked why. And she said, "Because I want to lay my crown down at his feet." It's nice, isn't it? Hebrews 12, 1 to 2 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith." Can we say that we are faithfully running the race that is set before us? Now, you're in church, so I'm assuming that you're keeping the faith. Are we laying aside those things that distract us, that pull of the world, the cares and the desires, the lust for other things, the Bible says, creep in and pull us away? Can we say that we are keeping our eyes on Jesus, the perfecter, the founder, the finisher of our faith? Mark 10 says, "But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, to give his life as a ransom for many." Our Lord Jesus exampled to us what a servant king looks like. I believe the Queen was a servant queen. And I believe, without any shadow of a doubt, her motive was, as she often would say, "my people." She was a servant. Jesus was our servant. Galatians 5 says, "For you were called to freedom, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." Call a career, shepherd or hireling. To be a shepherd, we have to be prepared to serve. What's the motive of your heart today? I believe that the Queen stayed true to the script. Now, it's an incredible script, and it has gone on for years and years and years. Laying on her casket today is her crown, is the orb that was used when she was in her coronation, is a scepter. That orb goes back to the 1600s and has been passed down and used for every monarch and will be used for King Charles. There's a script. We have a script called the Bible. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise. That script has been passed down to us. It's called the Word of God. Are we staying true to the script? Are we inquiring of God as to what he would have us do? Or is it our own ambition? Is it our own desire? Is it the monument that we're trying to build to ourselves that is leading and guiding us? The unfortunate part in this world today, again, we don't really have a lot of good leaders that are good examples for us. It's their script. It's what they want to do. It's the monument that they want to leave for themselves that they're interested in. Jesus showed us how to live our lives and how to stay true to the script. Isaiah 53 says, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. You know, I watch a lot of people and listen to a lot of people. I remember something that Pastor Oxley told me early in my life with him. Graham, if you have to justify, then you're already wrong. Learn to keep your mouth shut. Leadership is a lonely life. And I'm sure, just as much as Jesus standing before Pilate kept his mouth shut, there were many times that the Queen kept her mouth shut when she would have liked to have spoken the truth. Are you prepared not to get involved in justification, criticism? Remember, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. There's an enemy who's out to steal, to kill and destroy. Praise God, Jesus has come that we might have life. And then I've plagiarized or made a little bit of a difference in this scripture that I'm going to use, because it really didn't fit for the Queen, because she had lots of money and she never wanted for food or anything like that. But it still works. I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. In any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The word appoint and the word anoint in the Bible is exactly the same word. With the appointment comes the anointing. Until the Queen was anointed Queen, she was just the princess. But with the appointment came the anointing. And from then on, so I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When God calls us, when he invites us to serve him, we can guarantee that everything that we're going to need to do that job is already there for us to do. Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Steph, come on. Jesus' life was for life. Let me explain that. When he came as a baby to serve us, it was for life. For him, 33 and a half years. For the Queen, 96 years. For us, only God knows. But are we prepared? Be prepared to give our life for life to serve our King. Not unlike others, as I've said, I've had the privilege to look up to people like Pastor Oxley, to Billy Graham, to Mother Teresa, all who have lived their lives. Can we have the worship team up, please? All who have lived their lives as a calling from God, prepared to follow the example of Jesus. They weren't perfect. I'm sure they had many flaws. But the one thing they did is that they were shepherds, not hirelings. So my final challenge for you today is, in Matthew 20, it says that the disciples, when called by Jesus, immediately left their nets and followed him. Is your life one that you can say is obeying the call? Are you prepared to lay down your career, your ambitions to be a shepherd, serving your King, our Lord Jesus Christ? Are you willing, are you ready to lay down or to recommit to lay down your life and follow in the footsteps of the one true King, our Lord Jesus Christ? Now, I ask the worship team to lead us in a song, one song, but I'm going to do two, if it's all right. Can we do He Shall Reign first? Thank you. Can we all stand, please? There was an anointing on that song, He Shall Reign. I'd like us to sing that as a declaration today. And, you know, we could have a blanket open altar. I've sat and I've watched a couple of YouTube clips of people in a procession going past the casket, being prepared to line up for 20 hours. One lady said, when asked why she was lining up, she said, 20 hours is nothing compared to the 70 years that my Queen served me. You know, I would really like this time to be between you and God right now. I'd like you to picture yourself declaring before God in His throne room right now that He is your King. And then we're going to sing, We Fall Down. We lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. And again, the picture I have in my mind is that there's many here today who need to come forward and to commit their ambitions, their careers, their desires to serve God, whatever that might be. You know, God might say, keep doing what you're doing. But in another way, God might ask you to do something totally different. But I think today, for me, there's a challenge to be light and darkness, a challenge to follow the script, a challenge to serve the world around us. Not our ambition, God's ambition, to see a dying world given the opportunity of eternal life.